Well, we're in a message series called Messy. How many of you know relationships can be messy? You must, those of you who said nothing, you must not be in the same relationships that I'm in. Because in my life, what I have found in a lot of my relationships, they're messy. And you know why they're messy? Not because of the other people, but because of me. Those of you who know me know I'm a mess. And we said it last week in the message. All relationship problems, all relationship problems involve more than one person. Everybody say it with me. I'm the problem. I promise you. The first step to healthy relationships is being capable of saying, because there are two people involved in this relationship, because there's no relationship without at least two people, because there's two people involved in this relationship, and because I'm one of them, and because I know myself better than anybody else, and I know that I'm not perfect, I'm the problem. If you can say that, if you can start there, if you can start from that place of recognizing, from humility, recognizing that you have a part to play in every relationship, you have a part to play, and if you and I will allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in us, then what I have learned in my life is that as I allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in me, my relationships begin to change, they begin to transform. I have noticed that the way I behave affects other people. That my attitude, that my heart, that the atmosphere that I carry with me, that it affects other people. And so as we're talking about relationships, this series isn't about how we fix everybody else. This series is about starting from the place of Holy Spirit, help me. Because for a relationship to be healthy, I have to be healthy. For a relationship to have the presence of God in it, I have to have the presence of God at work in me. Even if the other person in the relationship isn't a believer, even if the other person in the relationship isn't full of the Holy Spirit, and perhaps they're full of other spirits, I still, as a carrier of the kingdom of God, have a responsibility and a part to play in that relationship. And what I have learned is that as I become a carrier of the kingdom of God, as I become a person who demonstrates or manifests or release the kingdom of God in my relationships, that even in my most difficult, challenging relationships with the most difficult, challenging people in my life, as I am a carrier of the kingdom of God, as I allow Jesus to do his work in me, as I model and demonstrate Jesus to other people, that it changes and transforms my relationships. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 says this: two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Now, if you weren't here last Sunday, we often say this, but we mean it. If you weren't here last Sunday, I highly encourage you to go to YouTube, pull down the message from last Sunday, or if you prefer to listen to it in audio format, you can download the podcast and listen to it. There are a lot of things that we covered last week as a basis for this conversation that I just don't have time to cover again today. And so it'll help you if you weren't here last week, go and grab that information. And for those of you who are in the room who are single and you were afraid going into this series that and you thought, oh, this is going to be all about marriage and this is just going to be another one of those situations where the church makes me feel bad because I'm not married. I said it straight last week. That's not what this is about at all. In fact, if you read Ecclesiastes, obviously he's talking about the power of relationship. You notice too when he got to that three part, he's talking about the power of relationship because we were created for relationships. Now, is one of those relationships marriage for those of us who are married? Absolutely. And there are many of us in this room who are called to marriage. We want to marry. We're passionate about that. We wanted to be married, and God provided a spouse in our life. And for those of you who that's who you are, and I'm one of those people, we celebrate you. But we also understand there's some of you who are called to singleness, and we celebrate you as well. So if you hear anything today that you think, oh, is somehow or another alienating me because I'm single, listen, you're the problem. Because that's not at all what we're talking about today. Will I talk about marriage and relationship? Absolutely, because that's one of the relationships in our life. Will I talk about parents and parenting and being a child and parent? Absolutely, because that's one relationship dynamic in our lives. But regardless of all of that, the things that we're talking about apply to all of our relationships. Amen? All right, now that we've got that out of the way, last week we talked, and just three quick things just to remind us from last week. Number one, healthy relationships multiply us. You can see there in Ecclesiastes, healthy relationships multiply us. What did he say? He said, if two people can work together, they get a higher return. So one thing we know about relationship is that relationships multiply you. However great you are, and guess what? You're all great. You're all amazing. Oh, you're being positive psychology. No, you were created in the image of God. Every person in this room was created in the image of God. You have capacity. You have incredible gifting. And if your world around you or if your relationships aren't pulling that out of you, that's a clue and a sign to tell you that you're in unhealthy relationships. Because what we know from Ecclesiastes is that in healthy relationships, my effort, my talent, my ability, my capacity, it's multiplied. So healthy relationships multiply us. Number two, healthy relationships provide a support structure for us. So what did he say? He said if you're cold and you're with someone else, you can get warm. If you're attacked, you can have support. When I have healthy relationships, I have a support system in my life. When I feel afraid or I feel threatened or I have a need, my relationships come around me. My people come around me and they support me. Thank God for your people, right? Our people support us. Right? When we have people in our lives, they come along and they're a support system. And here's the thing. If you don't have a support system, I hate to keep bringing this up, and it's been a while since I brought it up, so you can forgive me. Some of us, during COVID, we got accustomed to isolation and being alone, and then some of us just decided, oh, it's just easier for me to just be alone. And some of us have never recovered relationally from COVID. Some of us are still doing life alone. And then we don't understand, why am I struggling? Why am I struggling? We don't show up for stuff. We don't connect in community. We don't become a part of community. We come to church on Sunday, but we run out as quick as we can because you don't want to get the cooties or whatever. I don't know. We got accustomed to wearing our masks. We got accustomed to shutting down and being disconnected. But the deal is, God created us for connection and relationship. In fact, I said this last week, God himself exists in community. He exists in relationship. One of the greatest mysteries that exist is the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. They exist in community. We were created in their image, therefore we were created to exist within community. So many of us are struggling with mental illness, we're struggling with anxiety and depression, we're struggling with other issues in our life, and it's because we're allowing the enemy to keep us at a place of isolation instead of leaning into community, instead of leaning into relationship. And I know relationships are messy, they're hard, but here's the thing, because we were created for relationship, when we have them, it puts a support system around us. The third thing that we learned last week is that healthy relationships make us stronger. You're stronger when you have your people in your life, when you have people in your corner. And so an encouragement for us is, even though relationships are hard and they're messy and they're difficult, we must press into them because they make us stronger. A few other things we learned from last week. It is impossible to have healthy relationships without boundaries. You remember that's where we ended last week by talking about boundaries? It was funny. You guys were so cool and excited and laughing and fun until I got to that end of the message last week. And then you got real quiet because I started talking about boundaries. Because it's fun and funny to talk about relationships until we start talking about the part of relationships that's difficult. And one of the most difficult things about relationships is having boundaries. Some of us struggle in relationships because we don't know how to have boundaries. And then there are a lot of us in this room, we struggle in relationship because we don't know how to respect and honor and value other people's boundaries. Some of us are just obnoxious. Remember earlier when I said, it's me, I'm the problem. Some of us, when it comes to other people's boundaries, we're under the impression that the world revolves around us. And so our everything revolves around us, and we want to have friends, we want to be married, maybe we don't understand why things are not working with our kids, and it's because we haven't learned about boundaries, we haven't established healthy boundaries, and because our world revolves around us, we don't honor other people's boundaries, and then we don't understand, why are my relationships not working? Why are my relationships breaking down? And so learning about boundaries, establishing boundaries are absolutely significant. In your marriage, you have to have healthy boundaries. In your relationship with your children, you have to have healthy boundaries. Here's what I understand. Child psychologists teach us this. Human psychologists teach us this. People flourish. They flourish when they have boundaries. You want to see a kid break down? Raise a kid in a home where they don't have boundaries. Not only are they a brat and a menace to society, but they also grow up without stability in their life. They grow up not knowing how to relate. They grow up not feeling safe. Boundaries equals safety. Some of us need to understand that we struggle in our relationships because we haven't learned about boundaries. People in our life don't feel safe with us. Ooh, I'm just speaking truth right now. Some of us, the people in our lives, they never know what they're gonna get when we walk in the room. Some of us, we're not safe spaces. Our moodiness, oh, that's just my personality type. No, it's your immaturity. It's my immaturity. My personality type is not an excuse to be a jerk. My personality type is not an excuse to treat people poorly. My personality type is not an excuse to not be like Jesus. That's nonsense. And some of us don't understand why we're struggling with relationships because we're not safe. We're not safe with people. Here's the thing about boundaries is boundaries create safety. But the human condition is that the human condition fights against boundaries. Remember, we talked about it last Sunday. Adam and Eve fought against boundaries. They fought against boundaries because the enemy of their soul placed a seed of distrust. Trust and boundaries go together. Many of us struggle in our marriages because we have violated trust. And because we have violated trust, our spouse doesn't feel safe with us. And therefore, we're not experiencing the full joy of our marriage and relationship. And we don't understand why she doesn't do this or why he doesn't do that, why he doesn't show up. Well, maybe, just maybe, it's because we haven't established healthy boundaries and we haven't created safety. So her flower can't bloom with you because she's not safe. His power and strength can't be demonstrated because you've chopped off his manhood over and over and over again. He doesn't feel safe. See, how I treat you, how I respond to you, the boundaries that we set in our relationships gives you opportunity to bloom. It gives you opportunity to become all that you were meant and created to be. But when we're like Adam and Eve and we focus on the one thing that we can't have instead of the garden that God has provided for us, guess what? We're always, always, always pushing the limit and breaking down relationships. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They pushed the boundary they wanted. They focused on the one thing instead of all of the things that God had provided. Healthy relationships make us stronger. It's because it's impossible to have healthy relationships without boundaries. Boundaries are an expression of love built on trust. And then lastly, we learned last week, resisting and rejecting boundaries rob you of the blessing that relationships provide for you. We learned that from Genesis. Again, if you weren't here last week, go go watch that. Go listen to it. I believe it'll be helpful to you in your life. It's been helpful to me. I've learned and I've come to understand that the moment that I am pushing against boundaries, when people have set boundaries and limitations in my life, and I'm constantly, it's one thing to have a bad day. It's one thing to say, I need to push through in this moment. But when that becomes my entire mode of operation in life, it's telling me I'm not healthy. It's telling me, I'm not operating out of trust. There's something about this relationship that's causing me to feel unsafe. Or perhaps there's something about this relationship that's causing the other person to feel unsafe. So what can I do to begin to understand that? What can we do to begin to create an environment of safety? I want to continue down that road that we were on in Genesis last week. I want to read to you Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. It says this, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Remember, that's where we ended up last week. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. So, Adam and Eve, God had established a boundary for them. All of this garden, everything here is yours. All of these opportunities are yours. Just enjoy, be fruitful, multiply, live in the blessing. Adam and Eve said, no, we can't enjoy all that is available to us. Instead, let's fixate on the one thing, the one boundary. Let's push against that. Why did they push against it? Because the enemy told them they couldn't trust God. Trust violates boundaries. Boundaries, without boundaries, you cannot have trust. They're intrinsically linked to one another. That's, you got to notice and understand these stories. The enemy came to them in the area of trust because trust caused them to violate boundaries. They violated the boundaries, and then what happened? The Bible says what happened is that their eyes were open, and immediately they knew, they saw that they were naked. Think about it. Up until that moment, They were naked and unashamed. They were naked and apparently unaware. Everything was cool, literally. They were naked and they didn't even notice. It was no big deal. There was nothing to feel insecure about. There was nothing to feel like, oh, what's going on? Because they had been in a place of trust, and because they were living in boundaries, they were experiencing ultimate freedom. They were experiencing ultimate freedom because there was trust and there was boundaries. But the moment they followed the path of not trusting, the moment they violated boundaries, all of a sudden their eyes were open, and now they see that they're naked, and they're like, oop, we gotta fix this. Remember when you were a child and you were at that place of innocence and you just didn't know what you didn't know? Think about that for a second. Remember that place of innocence when you didn't know what you didn't know? God had established a boundary for Adam and Eve, for humanity, because there was something that we didn't know that we didn't need to know. We weren't created for it. We weren't created for the knowledge of good and evil. That was beyond our capacity. And in his love, he had set a boundary for us. Some of us in this room, and I talked about it last week, some of us in this room, we see every boundary as bad. Every boundary isn't bad. God had established a boundary that was for our good. But we, because of our rebellion, we push against those boundaries. Adam and Eve pushed against those boundaries, and guess what happens? It put them in a place in which now all of a sudden their innocence was gone. See, violated boundaries separate and alienate us. That's what they do. When you violate boundaries, it separates you and it alienates you. As a child, as a teenager, you know when your parents set a boundary for you, even if you think that boundary is ridiculous, the moment that you violate that boundary, it releases shame in your life, and all of a sudden it puts a barrier in your relationship with your parents. It's never the same anymore. When you violate a boundary with your boss, there's policies and procedures at your job, but you just happen to know better and you do it your own way anyways. What does that do? It creates distrust and a disconnection between your boss, your company, and you. You can apply it in any area of your life. When we violate boundaries, what happens is we separate relationship and we begin to get alienated because we now see ourselves differently and we see the other person, we see the other party in the relationship differently. Now we feel exposed and vulnerable in a way that really we weren't created to feel exposed and vulnerable. We have to be the kind of people who honor boundaries, celebrate boundaries, because those boundaries keep us from being separated and alienated. But many of us live in alienation. We live in separation. We live in that place because we do not have healthy boundaries in our life. Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 to 19 says this: to the woman, this is God's response to this situation. To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. I want you to notice that. Remember earlier, we talked about healthy relationships multiplies your effectiveness. It multiplies your identity. It multiplies the good in your life. Violated boundaries, lack of trust, pushing against the boundaries, it multiplies pain in your life. In fact, I'm showing you some gold right now. It actually multiplies pain in your purpose. I know it's 2024 and we're just supposed to be politically correct. But ladies, I mean, just biology says you can do something that men can't do. You got a purpose. Now, again, those of you, don't get twisted up. If you're not, don't get upset with me. Biologically, we can all agree you have a uterus and I do not. You were created for something. You have a capacity for something that in God's original, created, divine design that was supposed to be something for blessing and multiplication. It was a unique contribution to the world that men could not make. Do you understand the curse of sin? What the curse of sin did originally was to come after that which you were uniquely created and designed to do. Ecclesiastes said, when you have healthy relationships, you know what they do? They come alongside whatever you were uniquely created to do, and they multiply your efforts. They multiply your capacity. Sin, violating boundaries, unhealthy relationships, cuts against, curses, protracts what you were uniquely created and designed to do. The woman said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree of which I have commanded you. I mean, I said it last week, let me just say it again. Anyone who wants to take these conversations and make them about gender and put women down and say, yeah, it was the woman's fault and she's the problem in all relationships, etc. You don't understand scripture at all. God said, look, dude, you did this. You did this. So his response was to both Adam and Eve. You did this because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree of which I commanded you. You shall not eat of. Cursed is the ground because of you. Get this. In pain, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Both to Adam and Eve, it was the exact same thing. You were created. You were created for multiplication. You were created for fruitfulness. You were created with a divine design to do something. And the very thing that you were created to do now is interrupted. Now is painful and difficult. Adam and Eve were to tend the garden. They had this dream garden. It was fruitful. It was incredible. Now God says there's thorns and there's thistles, and it's not just going to give up its fruit. You're going to have to break your back. You're going to have to sweat. You're going to have to get dirty. It's going to be difficult and painful for you to accomplish what you were meant to accomplish, because now you are in broken relationship. Now you are outside of your divine design because you pushed against the boundary because you wanted the one thing instead of all of the things. Now you're going to have to work hard. And guess what he said to them? He said, your relationship is going to be, it's going to be difficult. See, you were on one page. You were in one mind and one accord. Now you're going to think different. You're going to feel different. You're going to act different. You're going to want things from each other that the other one isn't going to be able to give you. And it's going to be hard. There's going to be a constant longing in you for fulfillment that the other person can't provide. Why? Because boundaries were broken. Why? Because you don't understand. You chose to push back health, safety, trust. See, here's what happens. When you and I violate boundaries, we create relational conflict. Adam and Eve, from that point forward, God says your relationships are going to have conflict. Eve, you're gonna long for a certain fulfillment from your husband, and you're not gonna get it. There's gonna be conflict in your relationship. This is challenging for us. If we would just take and apply scripture to our lives and begin to understand that now, fast forward, all of our relationships follow this model and this pattern that we see coming from Adam and Eve forward. In fact, you trace human history from that point forward, and now there's conflict. Now there's misunderstanding. One of the greatest problems in relationships that I see or I experience or that I participate in is unmet expectations. I realize how poorly I am, I do, in communicating my expectations to other people. And then I realize how much I get my feelings hurt, and I get angry, and I get upset because the other person in the relationship isn't accomplishing or doing or delivering what it was that I wanted or that I needed. And it's fascinating because that's exactly what God said to Adam and Eve is, you're going to have these expectations, and the other person's just not going to be able to meet those expectations. So you say, Pastor Randy, well, what do I do with that? Well, what I do is I begin to understand that in healthy relationships, we talk about boundaries, and boundaries include expectations. This is what I need. This is what I want. This is what I desire. What do you need? What do you want? What do you desire? How can I help you? Now, all of a sudden, rather than it being, get this, you get married and you think it's just going to be automatic. You think it's just going to be automatic that now this person is just going to be the picture perfect spouse, or you get a new friend and you think, oh, this person's so cool. It's going to be automatic. This is the person I've been looking for, and they're just going to know. And it's so funny to me how we just think that the most idealized relationships are this person who can complete our sentence and sending them a WhatsApp, and before I can even type it, they've... And yet, you and I have to understand that because of the brokenness of sin, it created a pattern of relational conflict in our life, and that relational conflict often centers around not being conscious, aware, understanding expectations in the other person's life, and then not being humble enough to say, you know what, I have needs and expectations, and they have needs and expectations, and let me make sure that these are clear, because the human condition and the brokenness of sin is that these things are no longer clear, that boundaries are no longer clear, and that trust is always a problem. Oh, let me say that again. Trust is always a problem. Pastor, if you could just give me one thing that would help my relationships, what would it be? It's this: work on trust. Work on being the kind of person that is trustworthy and the kind of person who sets healthy boundaries in their life and says, you know what? I'm not going to give people access to my heart who I cannot trust. I'm going to tell you something. You lie to me, you just set a boundary in my life. When people lie to me, it's like, okay, the Bible's pretty clear about lying. You lie to me, you've told me I can't trust you. You don't have access to my heart anymore. And the further we go and the more you lie to me, the less you have access to other things in my life as well. I just decided a long time ago, I'm not going to walk hand in hand with liars. Because Scripture's pretty clear about it, and it violates my trust. It violates my boundary. So I'm not going to give that access to my heart. Does that mean you don't love them? No, I love them. I love them. I love them. I pray for them, and I love me, and I pray for me, and I lie too, and I want the Lord to help me, and I'm not getting judgy about anybody. Because when I'm under pressure and I feel, it's hard for me, I'm a people pleaser, I want to make you happy, and when your face is kind of crazy, I want to say just the right thing so that I release the tension in the moment, and then I walk away and I realize that I just lied to you because I wanted to release the tension in the moment, and what I have now done by releasing the tension in the moment is I've created a brokenness in our relationship. And my personal culture says I want to make everybody happy and I want you to walk away happy. But my kingdom culture says I have to be honest. And what I've learned from learning kingdom culture, not Randy culture, not Texas culture, not Indian culture, not black culture, not colored culture, not whatever culture. What I've learned from kingdom culture is I have to tell the truth. And when I don't tell the truth, I violate boundaries. And when I violate boundaries, I break relationship. And then I don't understand why my relationships aren't working. But if I live according to the kingdom, all of a sudden things start to change. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26 says this: You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable of judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. That's a crazy saying. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Oh, wait a minute. I thought you mean the responsibility is on me. If you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penalty. Matthew chapter 5 sets some boundaries for us, or some relational patterns for us. The Bible acknowledges very clearly we're going to have relationship conflict. But how do I have relationship conflict as a follower of Jesus? Well, Jesus says, here's what you do. Here's what you do when you know somebody's mad at you. When you know you've offended somebody. As you're bringing your offering to the altar, stop what you're doing and go to that person and deal with it. Well, I'm not the problem. They're the problem. Hold up. Matthew chapter 5 says you're a part of the problem. Well, they're my accuser. I didn't do anything wrong. Matthew chapter 5 says relationship is more important. See, y'all were all with me earlier when I said, I'm not having relationships with people lying to me. It's something different when people lie to me and they keep lying to me and I set a boundary in my life and I got a problem with them. Now I have to do what? I have to go talk to them. I can't just get mad and stay mad. Or the other side of the coin, what Matthew 5 is talking about is when I know that I've been the liar or I've been perceived to be the liar, and I know somebody thinks something about me that may be true or may not be true. Matthew 5, this is crazy. Matthew 5 says, if you know somebody's offended by you, you get up from your worship and you go. You go confront them. You go deal with this issue. Healthy relationships include healthy conflict. Some of us do not have healthy relationships because we refuse to participate in conflict. You cannot have healthy relationship without healthy conflict. And all relationship will include conflict. No, Pastor Andy, my wife and I, we never argue. We have no conflict. I promise you, in any relationship that there is not conflict, I promise you, somebody is naked and ashamed. Somebody's hiding behind the bushes somewhere. Somebody's not showing up. Somebody's disconnected. Somebody's sewing long cloths every day. Somebody's doing everything they can do to hide. Because there's no way, according to Scripture, there's no way to have a relationship without conflict. The issue is, how am I going to handle the conflict? Well, the conflict, first of all, starts with me taking personal responsibility. Not when I'm mad at you, but when I think you're mad at me, I come to you and I say, let's clear this up. Let's straighten this out. Let's deal with this. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20 says this: if your brother, now this turns it the other way, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. You don't start with your prayer chain. You don't start with your best friend. You don't start with your posse who's going to agree with you that you're right and they're wrong. You start with them. You're loving this. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen now after I've come one-on-one, if he doesn't listen, then take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. So this is when your prayer chain gets involved. This is when Pastor Andy start calling up, hey, this is going on in my life. No, I have a process. I went to them first. Hey, you violated a boundary in my life. This is what's going on. I need you to understand. Maybe you don't see this. Maybe you don't get this. Maybe it's a misunderstanding. That doesn't work. Okay, well, hey, let's bring a mediator in, because we're not communicating well. Let's talk. They can ask us some questions. They can make sure maybe we're both seeing this clearly. Then, after the process, brothers and sisters being involved, then it becomes an issue for the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, and there's not a worse insult. There's not a worse boundary you could have than for a first century Jew than being called a tax collector. This was the worst of the worst. So there's a process in Scripture for, look, if you've gone through a healthy process, if you've been humble, if you've gone to the person and the person still won't respond, it's okay to draw boundaries, because boundaries can only exist in trust, and trust can only exist in honesty, but it only exists in humility as well. So if you go through this process, it's okay to say, hey, this is a boundary. This is a boundary in my life. Truly, I say to you, people love to quote this verse of Scripture. They don't understand the context at all. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. But where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among you. Please, 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 please stop applying that Scripture to Holy Spirit lottery for whatever you want. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with healthy relationship. Please stop misapplying that passage of Scripture, thinking that you're praying a magical prayer and then getting mad at God when it doesn't happen. That is not what this is about. This is about healthy relationship. What he's saying is that in the context of healthy community, the heart of Scripture is always reconciliation. The belief from the apostles, the belief from Jesus, is that, you know what, if we could just get together in community, if we could be humble, if we could approach each other with healthy love for one another, we can restore relationship, and ultimately that's what's most important. It's more important than anything else. Relational conflict must be dealt with swiftly from a framework of humility. I can't do it from a framework of pride. I can't even do it from a framework of justice. Please understand this. You were not created to execute justice. You were not created to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm sorry if I'm dealing with your ideology here. You were not created to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's only one who is just. There's only one who is good. And there's only one who can execute justice. Problem for many of us in our relationships is we're trying to enforce justice, and we weren't created for justice. We were created to live in a just society, in a just creation, but we were not created to execute justice. We can't do it. We can't do it. That's why every human attempt always fails, because ultimately at its end, we and our sin nature gets in the way. We always get in the way. So instead, what do? In humility, I approach relationally and I deal with the issue. Pastor, how do you know this? Well, God didn't leave us in this place of brokenness and disconnected of relationship. In fact, in that same exact moment that he dealt with Adam and Eve, he also dealt with the enemy. Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, on dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." What is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the fact that he is the great executor of justice. And that he gave a promise in the garden, which he fulfilled in another garden, in which he brought justice, in which he said, "Let me restore relationship. Let me restore trust. Let me do for them what they cannot do on their own. Let me pay a price that they can never pay." Pastor, you're causing us to leave here to think that we're never going to have peace in our marriages. We're never going to have peace in our relationships with our children. No, that's not what if you hear that, you're missing the point. What I'm trying to tell you is that on our own, in our flesh, by ourselves, there isn't hope. But because of the work of Jesus Christ, my marriage can be at peace. My relationship with my children can be beautiful and fruitful. My relationship with my coworkers and friends, people I know, it can be beautiful and good. Why? Because Jesus did exactly what God said he would do. He interrupted the brokenness and he paid the price to restore relationship. God modeled and provided the road to restore relationships through Jesus Christ. How do I have a healthy marriage, Pastor? It's very simple. Lean into Jesus. Become like Jesus. How am I a healthy parent? It's very simple. Become like Jesus. How do I have healthy relationships as a single person? It's hard out here. Become like Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to change and transform. Surrender to his work in your life. Allow him to cause you to see with eyes clearly exactly who you are and exactly who that other person is. And know that they too have a redemptive purpose. They too are in the image of God. That in everything about them that frustrates you and makes you angry and makes it difficult, that somewhere buried in all of that was a divine design. Buried within all of that is the image of God, and that you have the opportunity to call that forward in their life by reflecting and projecting, like we talked about last week, the kingdom of God in their life through how you respond and react with them relationally.